Good morning. It's a joy to welcome you all to this Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. We hope that you come to see us at the shore on Fearball Saturday. That's this coming Saturday. Our church will have a booth at the shore, and those who are manning the booths, if you remember, we wear t-shirts. Now, some of you will have to dig those t-shirts out from a few years ago. Others, if you haven't gotten your t-shirt, this is it, and it's up in the parlor today. So if you haven't had a t-shirt, please pick one up today at the parlor so that you can represent us very well. And during that time, I will be providing tours here at the church. So we will have a booth at the shore, and we'll be here at the church for those who would like to learn more about this beautiful building and Ephraim Moravian's presence at Fearball. Would you stand with me as we sing hymn number 381, Holy, 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 and remain standing for the Liturgy for Trinity found on page 100.
Oh, Lord God Almighty.
The whole earth is full of your glory.
You are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things, and by your will, you brought them forth.
To you, the one who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be praise and honor, glory and might, forever and ever.
Triune God, we acknowledge the profound mystery of your being, beyond our comprehension, three in one, one in three.
Yet what we could never know by ourselves, you have revealed to us. Through your word and your mighty works, through Jesus Christ and the presence of your Spirit, you have made yourself known.
You offer the gracious gift of eternal life.
Eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
As we bow before you, holy God, we confess our unholiness and receive your word of forgiveness.
Gracious God, we confess our sin, which separates us from you. We know how people who belong to you should live, but we fail to live that way. We have done evil and have failed to do good. We have lived for self rather than for you or our neighbor. Thus our lives are diminished, our witness is stifled, and your image in us is tarnished. Forgive us, good Lord, through Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, guide us to live as people who know and love you. Amen.
The Lord who saves you says, I am the God who forgives your sins. I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Please stand if you are able.
The regular offering plates are at the exits, and we take what we call a joyful noise offering. And this month, it's for Secret Santa. Secret Santa is a local ministry that helps people with their heating and energy bills. And they raise money all year long, and then during the very cold season, that is when they can help a lot of people in Door County who struggle to heat their homes. So during our joyful noise offering, our nursery children lead us up. And then if you would like to come up and place something in the pot, you may, or the ushers can take that from you as they mill about. So we're taking up now our joyful noise offering for Secret Santa.
Thank you.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths. I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made the firm of skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Our third lesson is taken from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things that always frustrated me was that God did not set forth for me a clear path. I wanted to have my path laid out, and I wanted to know what it was, and I wanted to know now. I don't know if any of you have had that particular aggravation, but we really want to know where we're going. We get a lot of times where people have talked about goal setting. And I remember as a young married woman, my husband and I setting goals, and my sister, who had a few years on us, saw the list of goals and just started laughing at us. And I didn't understand why. Have you ever wanted to just have the path set out for you? I imagine that the disciples felt as I did, and they wanted that path clearly delineated. But what happened? What did Jesus say to them as he was getting ready to leave them? He said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you." And I think that's a word that echoes through the centuries. When the Spirit of truth comes, there are things that we cannot know now, that we cannot bear now. But in the future, when we need the Spirit of truth, we will have that understanding. I think of the disciples. Could they have borne the wonderful truths that Jesus did not tell them right away? The wonderful truth of Pentecost, could they have borne to hear it then? Could Peter have possibly understood that he was going to stand up and preach to thousands of people and the church was going to be born from a fisherman's witness? Could they have possibly handled that kind of truth? Could they have handled the fact that they were going to be persecuted and that they were going to have to leave a town that they were familiar with and go someplace else? Could they have borne that knowledge? Could they have borne the fact that they were going to turn the world upside down? Could they have borne the fact that some of their number was going to be martyred? There are wonderful and awful truths of our own lives. Can we bear that knowledge ahead of time? And God says, no, we cannot. But at the time that we need God's presence, we will find it. In 1991, my sainted mother, we called her the prophet of the family. We called her the savant. We said that when she spoke, God listened. But more importantly, when God spoke, she listened. And she declared 1991 to be the year of the Trinity for our family. And we, her children, said, yeah, okay, Mom. We figured she was getting a little dotty. And I said, so are things going to happen in threes? Is that why it's the year of the Trinity? And in that year, some wonderful things happened and some awful things. We experienced tragedy as a family. And in that time of great grief, when all we could do was be a puddle of tears, I asked the question of God, why? Why me? Why our family? Hadn't we done things right? Hadn't we been faithful? None of you have ever asked those questions, have you? And the word came right back to me, a revelation of God's self. And that revelation was, why not you? Do you think you are living in a holy bubble because you believe? And within that grief, within that tragedy, people came out of the woodwork, people that I had known for years but did not know that they shared that particular grief with me. And so we banded together in allegiance, in suffering, and God's revealing grace was there for me and my family. There were also some wonderful things that happened that year. I had determined that year that I was never to be married. I had determined that I wanted to be happily single rather than miserably married, because I had seen a lot of misery around me. And I met Bob. Bob was the president of the He-Man Women Haters Club. He had determined the same thing, and he had to give up his membership. And then in the middle of that year, I got a very official looking letter from the denomination that asked for me to consider another call, and the name of the church was Trinity. And I looked up and I said, you think this is funny, don't you? And I did not realize that I would spend 19 years in the suburbs of Maryland. I could not handle the wonderful things and the awful things if I had learned about them ahead of time. But God gives us grace at the moment. And that is, when we think of Trinity, I'm not thinking about doctrine. What I am thinking of is the way in which God reveals God's self to us. And God reveals God's self to us when we need it the most. When we are in crisis, God reveals a piece of God's self to us. When we are in joy, God reveals a piece of God's self to us. We will not know the totality of God's grace and God's power until that day when we step into eternity's morning. But until then, God gives us what we need for today. God gives us what we need for tomorrow. There are lessons from 1991 that I'm still processing today. Is it your year of the Trinity? Is it your year for God to reveal God's self in a different way? And then that revelation is not only for ourselves. But you remember when I said that when we had tragedy, people came out of the woodwork. The revelation is also for the people around us who might be struggling, the people around us who need some piece of light for their own lives. And as God reveals God's self to us, we reveal God to other people in how we interact. Will this be your year of the Trinity, your year when God reveals God's self to you in a way, in the wonderful and in the awful? Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful the revelation that you have given to us in those moments when we have needed you the most, in those moments of sheer joy, we see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And as we come as a congregation to pray, there are people in our midst that are in need of prayer today. We remember Betty Wolf and her family. Her son-in-law, Joseph Smallwood, has died, and she has asked for prayer for her family. Our dear friend Hetty is in the hospital, and we ask for prayer for Hetty. And we have people that we've been praying for weekly. Karen, who's a friend of Kathleen, Ed, who's undergoing dialysis, Dean, Karen's stepson, who's in hospice care, Barbara and Kevin, Fran, who's Marcia's friend, Kate. We want to remember the people torn apart by gun violence and the people of Ukraine. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful that we can come together and pray for each other. Pray for those that are enjoying life and praying for those who are struggling through the hard times. We ask that you would be with Betty and her family as they mourn the loss of Joseph, that you would grant to them your grace and your mercy. For Hetty, who is hospitalized, that she might know your healing touch, we bring before you Karen and Ed, Barbara and Kevin, Fran and Kate, that they would know your strength. We bring before you Dean as he takes his final journey, that it would be one that is peaceful and filled with hope. We pray for those in our country torn apart by violence, that you would grant to us your peace and your wisdom. We bring before you the people of Ukraine, and we ask, O Lord, that you would undertake in that region and that you would help us to be peacemakers. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.